Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the NWAC Sports South Fast Break Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 9:30 Pacific Daylight Time. And, of course, once we hit basketball season, it will be Pacific Standard Time, where on this show we talk to four great coaches, four great human beings who are shaping the lives of young men and women way beyond the basketball floor. And tonight, these coaches don't know this yet, but I'm going to surprise them right now for the final time, because after Labor Day, we're going to get really serious. But tonight, they're going to get a chance to ask me one question. One question each of the four coaches are going to get a chance to ask me a question. And of course, me is Greg Cropper, and I host this show each week. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, or at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com, where we'll be writing plenty about NWAC basketball before the season, during, and perhaps even after. But right now, we start this show off each week with the outstanding head men's coach at Southwestern Oregon Community College, Trevor Hoff in Coos Bay, Oregon. Trevor, it's September 1st. It's basketball season. We're rolling.
I know. It's an exciting time. It's here, September. School will be starting soon. And, boy, once that happens, we really get rolling here. So, exciting time, and looking forward to it, like always.
Yeah, and I know that you're going to ask me a question in just a little bit. I'll give you a chance to formulate it, but my next question to you is, what are you expecting out of your team this year?
You know, I think I've told you this before a couple times, but I think we're going to be able to shoot it, you know, which means we're going to play fast again like we normally do. I think the question mark will be size and rebounding, and defense. So, you know, it's going to be, hey, how can we blend these shooters in and you know, who's going to rebound for us and how are we going to get the job done that way? But, you know, I've had a good time this summer, you know, keeping track of the guys and just seeing how they're doing. And, you know, a lot of them are the same boat as us. You know, they're really getting excited to get here and you know, can't wait to get started.
Now, Trevor, even as great as I am, as much of a basketball expert as I am, as fabulous as I am, as arrogant as I am, I hadn't thought about this, but a basketball coach asked me the other day, he says, you know what? I have worked the last month, and our team is going to press crazy because we're going to take advantage of the new backcourt rule, and I hadn't thought about that phase of it.
You know, I think some more teams are going to be pressing. I think they will. They're going to try to slow the game down a little bit, or, you know, make teams take more time bringing the ball up, which is, you know, with the shot clock being shorted and stuff like that. I think that's definitely going to be a game plan by some coaches. I could see some people doing that for sure.
And, of course, in the meaning there, and I should explain it, I fouled it up with all my pontificating, but the idea was that you can no longer get a new count in that backcourt. You know, if you get to 8 and you can call a timeout, you only got 2 seconds to get that thing across now. And
yeah.
I didn't really think about that phase, but he said he spent a month, and I believe him, you know, seeing how they can pressure in the backcourt, because he thinks that they can take advantage of that rule. Is there anything else that rules, Trevor, that you're an established, talented, successful coach, that you really think if you can take advantage of the rules? And I know the other part of that is you really got to know the rules as well.
Well, that's one thing that my coach taught me, and he said every year you have to read the rule book, even if things don't change that much. So, every fall, usually around September or October, I break out the rule book and I read it over again. You know, I think just the shortening of the shot clock, but I, like I said, I don't know how much of that will affect us. You know, that one with the count not being reset if the ball's knocked out of bounds or timeout. So those are some pretty big changes, but I don't know how much it will affect us or how we'll take advantage of them, I guess. I'm not really sure.
Sure. And I think some teams it'll affect them greatly, other teams it won't affect them at all. And you know, in the long run, it probably won't have much bearing on it. Now, do you like your players dunking before the game, which now is going to be allowed? Or I did hear another coach say, no, I still don't want them dunking because I don't want them getting hurt. What's your philosophy on that?
Well, I'm pretty sure that the NWAC is not going to adapt that rule. So I'm hoping they don't. Okay. I would rather us not be dunking in warm-ups. You know, the thing that I'm worried about more than anything is equipment being damaged, whether it's backboards or rims or things like that. You know, there's some old gyms in the NWAC, and so that would be my main concern. But I heard a rumor that they might not be adopting that one rule, which we usually do, but if we don't adopt it, I think that would be a good thing.
Very interesting. I'm glad you brought that part up. And of course, the NWAC playoff system at the end of the year has changed a lot this year. And do you see that affecting your team at all? And I know you've not exactly been a proponent of that, but it's here. It's probably here to stay for a while. So you deal with it and create a successful basketball team.
Yeah, I'm definitely disappointed in the NWAC's change of the NWAC tournament and having the first round games being at home sites of the top two seeds from each region. You know, but the fact is that still four teams from each region make it. So, you know, obviously winning a region championship will be talked about a lot. But then also just, you know, being one of those top four, because you got a shot when you're one of the top four, so you always want to be in one of those spots. But I will continue to raise my displeasure of the change of the tournament. I think we really need to somehow, some way, you know, get it back to a 16-team tournament at one site. But for this year, it's going to be at the first round games will be at home site, so we'll have to adjust.
I actually think it needs to be moved to Chavka's driveway, but that's a real strong editorial comment. Okay, Trevor, take us out to begin with. What's your question for me?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, you're a Linfield grad.
That is correct.
I would just like to be in someone who's not from that area or from didn't see any of those games at that time. Give me a little background, or maybe the best game, or just some of the things about Linfield basketball back when you were a student there.
Yeah, well, that is a great question, and I will say there was no 3-point line. Ted Wilson was the coach, famous coach, probably the most conservative guy you'd ever meet in your life. Everybody had to have a flat top, coat and tie all the time, attire and everything. One day somebody, they had an ice cream machine outside of the gym at Riley Hall, and some kids had gotten ice cream in there, and they came in to practice, and they're eating ice cream down there, and these were students, and they're making a lot of racket. And instead of telling them to be quiet, Ted Wilson just hurls the ball down there and knocked the ice cream out of their hands. Now, if you did that today, you'd probably get a lawsuit for $100 million. But anyway, he was phenomenal. He, for as conservative a guy, he wouldn't even allow his team. They were never allowed ketchup. He thought that would hurt, a condiment that would hurt to you to eat. He wouldn't allow anybody to eat ketchup. But on the other hand, He had a style of his teams. They averaged over 100 points a game, I think like 5 years in a row. and it was phenomenal. The arena was packed every night. People would bring ladders in to be able to get a good seat, a good view, and it was an incredible period of Linfield basketball under Ted Wilson. And, you know, he brought guys in from all over the country to Trevor. You know, he had a pipeline to Hartford, Connecticut. It was phenomenal. And the other thing about it, Trevor, is I will say, and I'm making a long answer out of it, but it's a great question. He had the real interest of professors on campus. I'd say 80% of professors, men and women, attended every basketball game, and that's phenomenal for a university, a college. So great question. Have a great week. Sorry to go on about Linfield College, but it was a fabulous question. Thanks for being on tonight.
That was a great that was a great history lesson. I appreciate it, and thanks a lot.
You betcha. Thank you. Great, great question. My Trevor Hopp, head men's coach at Southwestern Oregon Community College. Now let's go to Bruce Chopka, who I know will have a great question for me, just like Trevor. But to start out with, Bruce, it's September 1st. Football's in the air, but basketball is going to overpower it.
Yeah, it's definitely right around the corner. I appreciate you having me. I think Coach Wilson would probably roll over in his grave if he could see the long Eugene mop that you're cruising these days. Jeez.
That's probably correct. And, of course, Bruce is the head men's coach at Lane Community College in fabulous Eugene, Oregon. And, Bruce, I've asked you before, and some of the questions I asked more than once during our tenure, because we're the fastest-growing program of all the Blog Talk radio programs I do, actually, and I do eight, and that's a factual statement. We're growing leaps and bounds, and we're off to a great start already, and we're not even into basketball season. But, you know, I wanted to ask you, do you take some advantage about being in Eugene? Because it's a hot basketball territory. It's traditionally had great high school basketball. And then, of course, you've got the Ducks there, and you've got some other universities there. And I think it's a really hotbed for basketball.
You know, it's definitely a hotbed for a college environment, a Pac-12 environment. I mean, I think I've told you before on the show that we throw that in on our recruiting pitch about, hey, come to a town and be able to continue playing basketball and, you know, talk to the parents about, you know, kids don't need a car because of the bus system and four colleges here. It's easy to get an apartment to live and just a good environment, a good nurturing environment for young people. And, you know, it's beats being stuck at a community college, maybe out in the middle of nowhere. So just a fun place to be for young people. And you get that flavor of University of Oregon kind of thing. And so it's a fun place. And basketball is good. You know, I went over tonight and watched Northwest Christian's team. Luke Jackson's the coach there, and watched his team work out and talk to them and that kind of deal. So it's a fun place to be. A lot of good high school coaches, you know, so it's definitely a special place.
No question. And part of it's making a special place is you being there at Lane Community College. And, you know, I'll ask you the same question I asked Trevor. And how about him breaking a story tonight on this program that NWAC may not allow dunking? You know, that's pretty big. I got to give him some plaudits for that pregame dunking. I should say they're going to allow dunking during the game. But what are you going to expect out of your Titans this year?
You know, it's a funny story. You brought that up with the dunking, and Trevor's right. There's a hot rumor off the press that our officials and the commissioner aren't going to let that happen, which I'm excited because we've been having open gym now for twice a week for probably a couple months, and we actually broke one of the deals on the rim that holds the net. And there's, you know, you could probably find somebody, especially in the state of Oregon, that can weld that sucker right back there, but it's probably not going to be, you know, regulation size and all that fun stuff with the smoothness that you need. But our equipment manager, he actually replaced one of our rims today. So it was pretty interesting you guys brought that up. But I'm expecting good things from our guys. We have some solid returners, some guys that, you know, earned their lunch money this year and bought into the team aspect. And We've signed some good kids, and you know, I always say you just never know. There's the first day of school, who shows up. Hopefully there's no drama, and then you hopefully work your guys to the bone and see who can survive and buy into the team. And that first week before the game, I think, is the real most exciting time. I think it'll be fun to see our guys back on campus, but you know, we got a lot of work to do before our first game. So I get really excited once that first game starts, you know, right before our first game, the week before. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited about our young guys and, you know, just work, and see what happens.
Very good. And you always have an exciting team, and I'm excited to see you guys play, as I am every coach's team on this show. Okay, Bruce, take us out in your segment. What's your question for me?
Well, I've already asked you this summer. At some point, I asked you what in the good Lord's name, what got you into refereeing? But my other question is, I'm a guy that likes to be outside and go to concert venues and see, you know, live acts and that kind of thing. And I've seen some really good performers live kind of thing. But who's the best concert in your whole entire life? What show did you see that you were just like, wow, this is by far the best? What performer?
Well, that's an easy answer for me, actually, but it's a great question. I went last September to the Moda Center. Brian Wheeler, the voice of the Blazers, was so kind to get me tickets to Elton John, and that was the greatest concert I've ever seen. I mean, he went on for 2 hours and 52 minutes. He stopped for about 5 minutes to sign autographs for those front row junkies. And other than that, he went back. And I mean, it was incredible. And you can tell that he loves it. I don't think there's a guy in that band that's under 55. And it's like they bring it. I mean, they're in tremendous physical condition, except for Elton. He's a little paunchy. But all the rest of them are like unbelievable weightlifters and all this stuff. And I mean, those guys can go till they're 90, and it was incredible.
That's awesome.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Plus, and I think the other thing too, Bruce, is he really appreciates his audience. His ticket prices are some of the lowest, and it's not that he couldn't charge. I read about him. He keeps them at a level that he feels that what should be charged, not outrageous, because he appreciates what everybody's done in his career. So there's your answer.
Yeah. That's a good answer. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Hey, Bruce Jahlke, it's a pleasure to know you and talk to you. And next week we'll really be rolling after Labor Day. Basketballs will be flying in the air no matter where you're at. So we'll talk to you next week. Now let's go to
Have
Tony
a good week.
Broaddus.
Thank you.
You betcha. Thank you, Bruce. And Tony Broaddus is the head men's coach at Portland Community College. And, Tony, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, Greg. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
And, Tony, it snuck up on us, but it's September 1st, and I know by this time you've been put on waivers for your softball team. They dumped you. So now it's basketball season, and it is exciting.
It is exciting, and, you know, it's still a little bit, I still call it the calm before the storm. You know, we still haven't gotten a full one set up to go full board yet. But you know it's coming, and when it starts, it's a long ride, a long grind. But, you know, I love it. I love it, and I'm excited to get started.
And, you know, Tony, I was out in St. John's the other day, and a guy runs across the street, and he almost got whacked. He almost got hit. It was a dumb move on his part, but he says, you know, Greg, I listen to the show every week, and I think Tony's going to have a really good team this year. And I said, well, I think Tony is confident he's going to have a good team.
Yeah, we've got a chance to be good. We've got some pieces, some size, some shooting ability. We've got two returners that did a good job last year, and Trey Eisenhut and Eric Bond. Both are really good, solid guys who will lead by example. We've got a chance, you know, to be tough, but it all depends on how hard they're willing to work, and we've got to be able to step up in crucial situations. So we'll see. Won't make any predictions. No predictions, but I do feel very good about the guys that we have.
Tony, as I often say, you have a rare double, a successful feat, championship in high school in the state of Oregon, an NWAC championship, which encompasses 34 teams. You know, the NWAC basketball, and I was late to the party, as I always tell Cliff Wagner, I was late to the party, shame on me, but I love it. It's my favorite basketball to watch, quite honestly, and it is a tremendous product.
Yeah, and it's getting better, It's already really good. People will be surprised. You know, you go watch a game, you're going to be entertained. You got guys that can play with the ball, off the ball. You got high flyers, alley-oops. So, yeah, it's a good product. And, you know, it's funny, you talk about the dunking in warm-ups. I guess I'm against the norm in this one because I would love for them to allow the guys to dunk in warm-ups. I mean, you talk about the crowd getting into it. We want to excite the crowd as much as possible, I think, you know, and they would love it. But, yeah, of course, you got to worry about the rims, you know, rim getting broke and then maybe a game having to be postponed. But I tell you what, I'm all for it. And the guys get excited,
I totally agree with you. I have to go against my great friends, Bruce and Trevor on this one because I think sometimes you got to think of the interest of the fans. And I think the fans love it. Well, early after the game, of course, mm-hmm. the way you guys play doubleheaders, but they're spending money, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're all pumped up. I think it'd be great. Tony, what's your question for me tonight?
Greg, my question for you is, what's the biggest sporting event you've ever seen live? In Game 7s, any Muhammad Ali fights or anything? What's the biggest you've seen in person?
Boy, that is a great, tough question. And I gotta say, it may not have been the biggest because I've been to the Super Bowl. I've been to the Masters, which is tremendous, as you know. I've been to the U.S. Open. I've been to the PGA. But I got to say the 1987 All-Star Game, when I actually had a seat next to Earl the Pearl Monroe, which was tremendous to sit next to him and talk to him. And then Magic Johnson was in that game. And the height of his career is at Seattle. And his team was down 18 points in the middle of the third quarter. And, Tony, here's what a competitor he was. He went around and grabbed every single guy. Not the guys that were, you know, in the timeout. Not the guys that were standing there in the timeout. Every guy on the roster. You could tell him, Earl Monroe was saying, he's telling these guys, let's get our act together. Let's win this game. And they come back and won the game. I was so impressed with Magic Johnson that game. It was incredible. And that was a snapshot of what a competitor he was. This is an all-star game. And he's going mm-hmm. around doing that. So, to me, that was one of the greatest, the greatest live event that I've ever been to just because of seeing Magic Johnson because I personally think he's the greatest player of all time. I know that's up for argument, but anyway. There's your answer.
Great. Thank you.
You betcha, Tony. Thank you. You're always a great part of this program, as is all the coaches. Love talking to you. Love talking basketball with you. You're such a successful coach, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday night.
All right. Take care.
You betcha. Now, Cliff Wagner, the head men's coach at Clackamas Community College. He closes us out each week, and I apologize last week. We had technical difficulties, Cliff, but we handled them greatly, and you rolled right over into the next program.
We sure did. So thank you, and it's nice to be able to actually talk tonight. I want to say I enjoyed your answer earlier talking about Ted Wilson's Linfield teams, and I actually played against those teams. You know, when I finished in 76, Coach Wilson was still on a pretty darn good roll there. And he had guys I can remember like Larry Doty and Mark Wickman was a great player, Rob Torsdahl, Danny Ainge's brother, Dave Ainge. I mean, they were really, really good. And They were so disciplined. They were in tremendous shape. They just ran you and ran you. And I remember they all had buzz cuts, and they all had these red and white knee pads they all played in and stuff.
Yeah.
But very good team and very tough atmosphere to play at Linfield. Back then, you remember the old four-sided arena they played in was like I looked like chicken wire or something up there in the second level, and they got on you pretty good. But great college atmosphere it was. You're right, great crowd. So brought back some pretty good memories hearing you talk about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Cliff. And I figured when you were listening that you'd love that. And you know, speaking of that, your games last year had some tremendous atmosphere. You get those baseball players in there. And, I mean, it, you couldn't find a seat in there a couple games, and the place is rocking.
Yeah, I love our baseball guys. They were really fabulous last year and really gave us some great atmosphere. Hope we can keep that going this year with some more big games.
And I know, Cliff, we've talked before, but like I say, sometimes it bears worth asking the same question because we are growing rapidly on this program. I'm very proud of you guys because – this show is really catching fire, and you can tell I'm fired up. But anyway, you're going to have a good team this year.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. We're actually going to get started on some stuff next week. There's some new rules with the NWAC that allow you to have a little more flexibility in the preseason. So we're going to have a neat little mini camp with our returners and with our new kids, and got about 18 kids coming in for 3.5 days. And so, yeah, it's upon us now. We're diving into basketball head first next week.
And, Cliff, you're going to break the tie here because it's Tony and I against Trevor and Chavka. That would be a tremendous – that would sell out Madison Square Garden in a tag arena match. But how about breaking the tie on pregame Duncan?
Gotcha. I'm with you and Tony on this one. You know, it's ironic. I played during the no-dunk era. I think it's my junior year in high school, the dunk got outlawed, and then all through my college years, and then it came back in. But the dunk has been good for basketball. It's been good for fans. I really think that if you let kids dunk in warm-ups, Tony was saying earlier how jacked up you had. I think that'd be pretty cool, and I think it'd be, you know, obviously up to coaches how much or how little you wanted to do. But I think arguments about equipment damage and stuff, I can't remember the last time I've seen a broken rim happen or a backboard smashed. It's been 20 years. So, I think that's worrying about a problem that probably doesn't even exist. So, personally, I'd like to see it. I think it'd be good for the game, good for the fans, and good for the atmosphere.
You just did something that makes this program great. We all vary on stuff each week, and we're never always on the same side, so I love it. It's very good. You know, Cliff, what's your question for me as we close out tonight's great program? And I'm not asking you to ask me any more questions all year long until April, all you guys. So this is your final one. Make it a good one.
if somebody could wave their wand and say, Greg, you're the new marketing director of the NWAC. Your job is to promote NWAC sports. What would you do differently?
Well, you know what? I think that's an easy answer, Cliff. Stay tuned to gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com, and I'm going to market this thing like it's never been done before, and it's going to be phenomenal, and attendance will be up 28% across the league.
I hope that crystal ball you're looking into is accurate.
Yeah. Say that again, Cliff.
I said I hope that crystal ball you're staring into is accurate because that's a pretty good statistic.
Yeah, it is, and you know what I mean. And I'm all in on NWAC basketball, men and women this year, and I'm going to do everything I can to boost up attendance and to get people out to games. And I got a few surprises for everybody as well. So stay tuned. And it's a great question you asked, Cliff. Say hello to everybody. I'm going to catch up with you very soon for some very important stuff that we got to talk about. And everybody, thanks for listening tonight. We appreciate Cliff Wagner, the head men's coach of Clackamas Community College, taking us out each week. Good night, everybody, And don't forget to make all your free throws. Thanks for making this the fastest growing program on Block Talk Radio.